one. And just thank you, ladies, for sharing. I was going to say to Jennifer, what I love as a pastor, and I saw this in every one of you that got up here and shared, but when I look over here and you won the deal, you got your whole family here today and got Gary here. That's important. Love Gary and Jennifer and their whole family. But this family, what was it, a little over a year ago when you got baptized, or has it been, two years ago? And I've just seen, as their pastor, just seen the growth happening in this family and the things that are going on in this family, and I just love it. That's what sets me on fire as a pastor. And I see it in every one of you in here. But Luke chapter 1, and today is Mother's Day, and so I have a Mother's Day message for the ladies, and I think it's going to go well with what they just shared. But guys, don't check out, because this will speak to you as well. Amen. And I want to read this declaration over all the mothers that are here today. This is a pastor friend of mine shared this. He actually put this together himself. His name's Pastor A.T. Hargrave. I meet with him and other pastors every second Wednesday of the month on a Zoom call, and he's out of Oklahoma City. But on this meeting, we talk with pastors that are over across the pond in England and Scotland and other places. But he shared this. We have a thread, too, like you ladies have a thread. Keep that going, okay, and keep encouraging one another. You need that. But on our pastor's thread, he shared this morning, and I, of course, got permission to read this, but he's the one that wrote this, Pastor A.T. Hargrave, and he's a pastor, of course. One of the more surprising things about pastoring is the range of emotion to which people experience on Mother's Day. We're called to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those, like Eve in the Bible, who have lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, abortion, failed adoption, or running away, we lament with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, like the Shunammite woman, when told by Elisha she would become pregnant, replied, "No, please do not mislead your servant. The door of hope was too painful to open. We hope walk with you today." To those who, like Naomi was to Ruth, are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those like Timothy's mother and grandmother who have warm relationships with your children and are sowing seeds of eternity into their hearts, we rejoice with you. To those like Eve who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we weep with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who live through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those like Bathsheba, have sick children who may die, we pray with you today. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you long for it to be. To those like Hagar, who are raising your child on your own, we honor and encourage you today. To those who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those like Moses' mother, who reluctantly gave up her child because it wasn't safe to raise the child herself, adoption, we commend you for your selflessness, and remember how you hold that child in your heart. To those like Pharaoh's daughter, were called to love and nurture children that weren't yours by birth, who step-parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and, like Mary, surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we remember, mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst today. We honor you and are better for having you in our midst today, and we remember you. Happy Mother's Day. So give all the mamas in here a big hand clap. Got some warriors in here this morning. I'll never forget whenever Taya was born on August the 3rd, 1994 in Elk City, Oklahoma, and I saw my wife give birth to our first child, our daughter, I was like, this woman, Jada, is my hero. Amen. And by the way, she can't talk today. She has laryngitis. She really does. And she's not contagious. We think it's the allergies. Somebody said, I think it was Will Bowie, said, "Well, Mark, she's been screaming at you all weekend." Yeah, I know. I'm a 53-year-old toddler is what she says. So she's been yelling. No, it was really the allergies and everything. So she can't talk, because she was up here praying with me and helping me pray for people. And she goes, "I can't stand it that I can't talk." You know, I was like, just agree with us in prayer, okay? Just agree. We need prayer. There's power in agreement, so she can't talk. So I'll be praying healing over her today. I need her to be able to talk. Amen? I need to know what I'm doing in life for this next week. All right. So today's title of this message is we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, saying yes to God. And I started off this list, and that's a picture of Mary when she's pregnant. It's supposed to be a picture of Mother Mary when she was pregnant with Jesus, our Savior. And so we're looking at her when she said yes to God. And I started by making a list of all the ordinary, flawed, messed up, afraid, scared, and insecure people in the Bible who said yes to God, not knowing what it would mean for their lives. Amen? Because they all said yes, but they were just like us. I want you to realize that. So we're going to go through this real quickly. Just a few that said yes. This is not an exhaustive list. But Noah said yes when God asked him to build the ark. I just want you to know when he asked him to do that, it never rained on the earth. He didn't even know what a raindrop was, and much less a boat. Abraham said yes when God asked him to sacrifice his only son. Joseph said yes when God asked him to forgive his brothers who beat and sold him into slavery. Moses said yes when God told him to go to Pharaoh and ask him to let the Israelites go. Rahab said yes when asked to hide the Israelite spies and risk her own life and the lives of her family. David said yes when God asked him to fight the giant Goliath with only a slingshot and a few stones. And he did it afraid, by the way. Esther said yes when Mordecai told her to go to the king to save her people. And I believe there's some ladies that you've been called into the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. And Daniel said yes when God told him not to bow down and worship other idols. And this is what we're going to look at today. Mary said yes when the angel told her she would carry God's son, Jesus. The disciples said yes when Jesus asked them to leave everything behind and follow him. And Paul said yes when God asked him to deliver the good news of Jesus to the Gentiles. And I'm so thankful that the Apostle Paul said yes, or we wouldn't be sitting here today. Amen. That's how important those yeses were. And they all did them afraid, insecure, not thinking that they had enough, you know, for God to use. But they had, by a simple yes, because they were willing, God used them in for greatness, for the kingdom of God. And so we're going to go to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. This is, you normally hear this story at Christmas time, but we're going to hear it on Mother's Day this year. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." I want you to remember that, this question that she asked the angel. Very important question. Very valid question. She said, "How can this be? Because I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son. She has conceived a son, and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything that you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. And so we talked a little bit about this last week, how quickly she asked a question, but it was a question based on faith. It wasn't a question of doubt, really. She just wanted to know how this was going to be, and then God told her how it was going to be. And then she received that answer by faith, and she said, "Be it unto me according to your word." She quickly renewed her mind according to the word of God that God had given her. So what I want you to do, several times the angel in there told her that you have favor. Mary, you have favor. So I want you to look at someone today, preferably the mother of your children, if you're a husband sitting there with your wife. Look at someone and say, "I see God's favor in your future. I see God's favor in your future." Now tell them this, just say yes to God. Okay. So what I want to show ladies and the guys, don't check out on me, even though this is a Mother's Day message today. Mary's calling was to be a mom, okay? She was to be the mom of the Messiah, the Savior of all mankind. But I want you to notice that every time that God puts a calling on somebody's life, there's a preparation leading up to it. Amen? Okay. So we know that she was called to be a mom. Now I want you to think about this, okay? Because a lot of times we think, oh, she was in her 20s or 30s. No, she was, some scholars say she was between the ages of 13 and 16. This is probably when this happened, okay? In the Jewish culture, parents arranged marriages. And so, and as I was studying this out, trust me in my studies of this, is that in the Jewish culture, sometimes parents picked out their daughter's husband by the age of 5, that they knew that this was the other family that they were going to marry into. So she may have known about Joseph since she was 5. I don't know. But she knows that she, we know that she was betrothed to Joseph, so the, usually the betrothal period was a year. And so we know that that's been going on for about a year. But she was anywhere from the ages of, and some scholars even say may have been as young as 12. But we're going to say from age 13 to age 16 is where she was at. And so here she is being called to be the mother of the Messiah. And so I had to stop and pause and say, and I even asked Jade, I said, what do you think God saw in her as a teenager? And so it made me stop and, you know, selah, that's the word, stop and think about it in the word. And so I was stopping and thinking about it. And I know that God was calling her to be a mom, but I'm going to tell you what her preparation was. And all the young people in here need to listen to this, okay? How many of you are under the age of 18 in here, this, and you're a woman? Yeah, thank you for raising your hand. No, I want you to raise your hand. Everybody in the, okay, now listen to me. Their preparation to being a mom was being a good daughter. That was the preparation. And so what God saw in this young woman, I can tell you this, is he saw that she was a good daughter. And what is a good daughter? A good daughter is somebody that's obedient to their parents. And I can see a lot of parents back here going, yes. And some moms back here going, yes, Pastor, keep preaching. You know, yeah, amen. So listen to me. And it doesn't matter what age you are either, okay? I'm just talking about your preparation of being a mom or being a good wife, your preparation is being a good daughter. And everybody said, amen. So how many of you want to learn how to say yes to God this morning? Okay, real simple. I've broken it down real simple because I'm simple. I'm redneck simple. And so I broke it down into an acronym of YES. How to say yes to God is YES stands for yield, expect, and surrender. Okay, and so now we're going to go through these three things, and in about, I've got 12 minutes, so hopefully you don't have a roast on, and we're going to try to keep it from burning today, okay? So how to say yes to God. Number one is why is yield. You yield to God. Now listen to this. You yield to God by learning to say no to things in your mind. Now let me explain that, okay? That's one, and I'm not saying this is the only way that you yield to God, okay? You spend time with God. You have solitude with God. You heard the ladies up here get in your prayer time. Patricia talked about her prayer time. You're getting into the Word yourself. But you yield to God by learning to say no to things in your mind. And this is Proverbs 25, verse 28 out of the Message Bible. A person without self-control is like a house with its doors and windows knocked out. Now, let me explain that. God has given you the ability, you have a free will, you have a choice to whether you're going to let some things into your mind or you're not. And everybody said, amen. So this is where I'm teaching you how to say no. Telling yourself no means confronting the thoughts that are not from God, okay? Now, a lot of times you hear pastors preaching about, well, don't smoke, drink, cuss, or chew, or hang out with those that do. You know, that kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, that's, can I tell you right now, that's not going to keep you out of heaven. Okay? It's the things that are going on the inside of you. Okay? God's looking on the inside. And so the Bible even says in Romans, I think it's Romans 14, 23, that whatever's not of faith is sin. Okay? So let me break that down a little bit further. So if you have these thoughts going on in you, and Jennifer Gourlay had talked about deliverance, and that's what's going on in her mind and in her life, deliverance of things that she's been taught and raised with, you know, the thought patterns in her life. I'm sorry, Jennifer, I'm picking on you this morning. But she's renewing her mind to the Word of God, and that stuff is leaving. So she's starting to learn who she is in Christ, that she's a daughter of the Most High God. So when you have thoughts of rejection, insecurity, doubt, self-doubt, these things are not from God. Fear is not from God. Fear is holding a lot of ladies and men back from fulfilling their God-given assignments. Those things are not from God. And if those thoughts are running rampant in your mind, you're actually telling God no. And whatever is not of faith is sin. Okay, so we cannot believe lies and truth at the same time. And if we're accepting the lies, then we're rejecting the truth. And the truth is, God loves you, and God has set you free. And God calls you a daughter or son of the Most High God. Amen? And you're loved. All right. Now, verse 24, what I told you to remember, where Mary responds, how can this be? I'm a virgin. Valid question, right? I've never been with a man. I know how this works. I'm old enough to understand the birds and the bees, God, and it ain't happening in my life, so there's no way I can be pregnant. Can I break it down like that for you? Okay. That's what's going on in her mind. How can this be, God? I've never been to seminary. That's one of mine that I've said to God. Not how can this be, God? When God called me in the ministry, I said, how can this be, God? I've never been to seminary. By the way, I just graduated. It took me 26 years to do this, but I just graduated from, praise God, 26 years to do this, but I finally graduated from Rhema Bible Correspondence School, and it took me 26 years to do it. It was so funny. Thank you. I called the lady up that oversees their school, and it's in Rhema, which is in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and we were laughing together. She goes, Mark, I really do think you may be the longest student we've ever had. And she said, but you got it done. And I said, yes, ma'am, I got it done. But that used to be this hang-up when I knew that God was calling me to be a pastor, and I didn't know where at the time, I was having that question, God, how can this be? I've never been to seminary. And at that particular time when I was having that question with God, listen to this, God did this, not Mark Haney. God told me to leave the denomination that I was in. And here's the reason why. It's not a slam to that denomination, but I had made that denomination in my mind God, and they're my source, and they're the ones that's going to be able to tell me that I'm called to be a pastor. That's what was going on. And God knew that. That's what was going on in my heart and in my mind. And then God said, Mark, I want you to leave that denomination. I was like, God, then how in the world am I ever going to pastor a church, you know, or you're calling me to be a pastor? And let me share with you the same thing that was going on with Mary. How can this be, God? I've never been with a man. Mine, how can this be, God? I've never been to seminary. Okay, here it is. You are not limited by your experience. You're limited by your mindset. And God doesn't speak, listen to this, God doesn't speak to your experience. He speaks to your potential. That's what God speaks to. I had this problem, Amos, one of my favorite prophets in the Bible, one of the minor prophets. There's 12 minor prophets, and Amos is one of my favorites because he says this in Amos chapter 7, verse 14. He says, but Amos replied, I'm not a professional prophet, and I was never trained to be one. I'm just a shepherd, and I take care of sycamore fig trees. But God called him. Yeah, that was what he was. But God called him, and he didn't do any major signs, wonders, and miracles. God just put a word in his heart to deliver it to Israel, and the word was this, to deliver an important message to a nation that had forgotten its spiritual roots. That was the message that he carried, that God had him carry. And he was just a shepherd and a guy that took care of fig trees. But God called him. So God doesn't speak to your experience or how you've been trained or if you've been to school. He speaks to your potential. And everybody said, amen. Some of you in here are limiting God, just like the children of Israel did. Psalm 78, verse 41 says, yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Look at somebody and say, quit limiting God. Quit limiting God. And then how we do this, and I'm gonna share something out of my own life, is none of us are perfect at this. We're all renewing our minds according to the Word of God, that you get saved, your spirit saved, you're eternally secure, you're going to heaven. But then this walk that we have with God, this journey we have with God, the whole time that we're here, we're constantly renewing our mind according to the Word of God, what God says about us. And so to do that, you're going to have to learn this scripture right here, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 6. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that it sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedience to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Basically, what that is saying is take every thought captive. When you have when I have a thought of getting up here and I'm afraid and I'm insecure, God, I remember, no, God called me and God put a word in my mouth to deliver to his people. And he's not going to ask somebody else to do it. He asked me to do it. So I've got to do it. And there's times I get insecure about it because I didn't go to seminary, God. And God said, Mark, I don't need seminary. I just need you to say yes. I'm not knocking education because that took me 26 years to graduate from Rhema Bible Correspondence. You need education. You need those things. But don't let those things be your hang-up. Like Moses, I can't talk well, God. God's like, good grief. Moses, I'm calling you. And Moses like, okay, what am I supposed to do? I want you to go to Pharaoh, who is, you know, I mean, you talk about the kingpin of the earth at that time was Pharaoh. He said, I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him to let my people go. And he said, okay, God, what I got an army, and what am I going to use? You're going to use what you got in your hand. You got a stick. Do you know how retarded that would have looked? Excuse me, shouldn't have said that. But how dumb that would have looked whenever he went before Pharaoh with a stick. With a stick. That's all he had in his hand was a stick. And goes, God told me to tell you, let my people go. And I guarantee you he was not secure in that until God started showing up with miracles. And then I think Moses' chest started sticking out a little bit. God's with me. God's for me. And we're going to rescue our people. And everybody said, amen. But you got to learn how to take thoughts captive. And I'm going to share something that Jade and I do. I've even learned how to pray. I'm praying this verse even at night before we go to bed, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, even while I sleep, God. I want my mind given to Christ at all times. I don't want any inroad to the enemy. And everybody said, amen. So what we do is, number one, is how we yield to God. We yield by preparing to meet God on his terms, not ours. What are we doing to prepare ourselves for when God calls? Are we intentionally surrounding ourselves with wise people? Do we belong to a community of believers? We cannot expect to be ready for what God calls us to do if we're not in the arena following his playbook. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number two, how to say yes to God. Number two is the E on yes is to expect. You expect from God by having faith in his promises. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. So you need to expect to hear God's voice. Our lives can get so noisy, we can get so distracted. We heard this word this morning about Martha. Are we making time and space for solitude so that we can hear God when he speaks like Mary did in Luke chapter 10? Do we even expect to hear God's voice, or are we filling our lives with so much mindless activity that we cannot hear? Are we unconsciously ignoring that still small voice because we're not sure if we want to respond? We cannot say yes to God if we're not listening for his voice. We got to listen for his voice. Okay, here's number three. How to say yes to God is the S is the surrender. The S is surrender. And this is in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 25, what Jesus said to his disciples, and he's saying to us today. He says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Most of us, if you've been in church any length of time, you've heard that scripture before. But the first thing that Jesus says in those two scriptures, in those two verses, the first thing he challenges all of us, he says, I need you to be open to surrender. Look at somebody and say, you need to be open. Then the very next thing you're going to have to do is deny yourself, which means deny what you want to do. Okay? You're listening to God, deny yourself. A lot of us, we boss God around in our prayer life. God, well, like we know what we're supposed to be doing. And God, you know, this is what I need you to do today. And you give him a laundry list. And what God wants you to do is surrender and say, God, what do you want me to do? To flip that around. Be open to surrender. Deny yourself. Take up your cross, whatever that cross is. Every one of us have our own journeys. Follow Jesus. Find life. And what basically that scripture sums up, surrender leads to life. Surrender leads to life. We surrender by being open to what God has to say. Like Mary, are we willing to say yes no matter what? I want you to really listen to this. Are we willing to say yes no matter what? Or is our yes dependent on what God wants us to do? Most of us would prefer to have the game plan ahead of time so that we have options and can decide accordingly. That's me right there. God, give me the game plan ahead of time, and then I'll tell you if I can say yes or not. And God's saying, no, Mark, it don't work that way. Faith don't work that way. I need your yes first, and then I'll show you the details. And in fact, I may not show you all the details all at once. It's going to be one little step of faith at a time. God does not give us that option. He wants our yes first. We cannot fully surrender to God if we come with conditions. And everybody said, I'm telling you, even the start of this church, when we started this church, I had the vision of this church when I was driving from Raiden to Cheyenne one day on Highway 47. This was years ago. Had a vision of this church. I didn't know it was going to be here at that time. At that time, I was in Elk City. So the very first thing I did, I started thinking it's going to be in Elk City. We're going to plant a church in Elk City. And then through a series of events, Mark Ward called me and said, hey, we need a pastor. We need somebody to fill the pulpit at First Christian Church in Camargo. Can you do that? Yes, I can do that. From 1998 to 2000, for 2 years, did that. Drove right by this property for 2 years. Right through this town for 2 years, my hometown. But I'd already told God, God, I'll say yes to everywhere else in the world except Leedy, Oklahoma. And in fact, when I was with a certain denomination that I was with before coming here, they always sent out an open church list. The open church list always had Leedy on it, that church was open for a pastor. I ain't going to Leedy. It's my hometown. And one day I started happening to me that God finally 2 years, and it was several years of this, God working through my thick skull and my stubborn will. Mark, I'm calling you to Leedy, to your hometown. I was like, oh, God, I'm willing to say yes, but you're going to have to talk to her first because I'm not bringing this to Jada. And he did, and he started telling her, and then she came to me, and she said, Mark, I really think it's supposed to be in Leedy. And I said, are you serious? He talked to you too. Yeah, he talked to me. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And so then I went to God, and some of you heard this story before. I went to God, and I used scripture on God. That's not a good thing to do, by the way, because he wrote it. And I used the scripture on God. I said, God, your word says, Jesus even said, when he went to his hometown, he said, I couldn't do anything there. And he said he left, and he said, a prophet's not even welcome in his hometown. And so I told the Lord, there it is. I can't go to Leedy. There's no way. They're not going to receive me. And you talk about very humbling. What happened to me during that moment, the Holy Spirit tapped on my shoulder and said, Mark, Leedy is not my hometown. And it was basically, you need to surrender to me, say yes to me, Leedy, and I'm going to use you to reach your hometown, but it's not my hometown because I love Leedy, and we're going to reach Leedy together, and I need you to start loving your hometown. And then God began to do something in my heart to start me loving my hometown and not be the guy who's going, I'm never coming back to my hometown. You know, when you graduate, you graduates, don't say that to God, okay? When you graduate and you say, I am never coming back to this town ever again, don't do that because God might have other plans for you. Be open to where he wants to lead you, amen? Now, I just want to close with this one statement, and then we're going to pray over the seniors, and we're going to dismiss and let you go home and celebrate Mother's Day with all the mamas in the house. this is the one thing that I wanted to say to everyone here today. This is not only the mothers, but even the dads that are here today, the gentlemen, young men, young ladies. If God is asking you to move forward on something, whatever that something is, then the answer is yes. I feel like there's, when I was preparing this, I feel like there's some people in here that you're waiting for the details, and God's saying, I need a yes first, and then the details will come later. And everybody said, amen. All right, what seniors do we have here today? We have Weston, I know. Christian, get up here. Come on up here. Both of you guys, come on up here. Don't make, give these guys a hand clap. Is that the only two graduates we have in the house? Come up here and stand up here in front of me, guys, and I've got a gift I'm going to give you from the church. Proud of you guys. Are y'all ready to graduate? Ready for baccalaureate tonight? We got baccalaureate tonight. All right, stand right here. I'm going to pray. Get on each side of me, all right? Golly, big old tall guys, I'm telling you. I feel short up here. All right, I'm going to pray over these guys. Father, we thank you and praise you for our graduates today. God, I thank you that they're saying yes to you for the calls that you have upon their life, whatever that is to be, God. And so, Lord, I just thank you that you're going to lead and guide and direct these young men by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I just thank you so much for Christian and for Weston, just seeing the growth in their lives, being their pastor, baptizing them both. God, I just thank you for the honor of being able to do that. And God, I thank you that this is just a stepping stone in their life, a big stepping stone in their life to graduate from high school. And then, God, they're going to go out into the real world, and you've got a calling and a purpose on each one of them. It's different, but, God, they're serving the same God. They're serving you, Lord. And we just, Jade and I and the church family here and those that are watching online today, we just bless these two young men today and the future that you have for them, and that future is full of hope and full of goodness. And we bless them today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Love you guys. See you tonight at 7, too. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. Something I do every Sunday before we go home, every Sunday, is because I don't know who all is here on a Sunday morning. Also, those that are watching online as well, and those that listen to this on the radio. And I just want to make sure that everyone here knows Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and it's very simple. The Word says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, in Romans chapter 10, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer of doing that, of calling upon the Lord, and the very next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism, and we can do that next Sunday. You just need to let me know if you'd like to do that. But even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. I want you to stand up, join hands with the person next to you and your family there, friends, and I'm going to speak a blessing over us today. We're going to go out with the priestly blessing, as Jennifer Bourne talked about this morning. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Happy Mother's Day, and keep saying yes to God. Amen.
out of state. I don't know.